Been looking at Romans chapter 1, or taking our thoughts based on Romans 1. The main topic of Romans chapter 1 is sin and the wrath of God upon that sin. And we've been looking at the nature of sin. We've seen the last couple weeks that it affects every part of man. There's nothing in the natural man that is unaffected by sin. We want to look today at the progressive nature of sin. Sin, by its very nature, progresses. And we see that very plainly in Romans chapter 1. We see it all through the Word of God. We could give hundreds and hundreds of illustrations from the Word of God concerning the progressive and spreading nature of sin. It's illustrated by the use of leaven. Sin is compared to leaven, which shows that it is progressive in its nature. It is likened to leprosy, also showing the progressiveness and spreading nature of sin. In Genesis 1, verse 31, we've referred to this several times. We see that after God created, it was very good. Not just good, but it was very good. That is, there was no disorder, none whatsoever. There was no chaos. There was no conflict. There was no struggle. There was no pain. There was no disease. There was no decline. There was no death. But by the time you get to the end of Genesis chapter 3, we see that Adam and Eve are ashamed, and they are feeling guilt. Something they never felt before. And they're trying to flee. They're trying to hide from God. And man still tries to hide and flee from God, and he does so out of a feeling of guilt. But in Genesis chapter 3, everything changes. There you have again the record of man's sin. But it doesn't stop there. Adam and Eve, they, of course, partook of the forbidden tree. That's where sin entered into the human race. But as you follow through the book of Genesis, it just keeps getting worse and worse. In Genesis chapter 4, there's anger, there's jealousy, there's murder, and there's polygamy. What began in the garden has now progressed. We know that Cain kills his brother, again, out of jealousy. He commits murder. And by the time you get to the end of that chapter, there's polygamy. It's progressed since the Garden of Eden. In chapter 5, there is a genealogy. And you find the words, and he died, 8 times. And he died. And he died. 8 times. He died because of sin. Then, of course, you come, if we turn there in the book of Genesis chapter 6, just prior to the flood, in verse 2, the sons of God, that's the saved, saw the daughters of men, that's the unsaved, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. You now have saved people marrying unsaved people, and it was based upon lust. They saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, that they were beautiful. It was all by sight. In verse 5, we see it progresses. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Where did it begin? With Adam and Eve partaking of the forbidden fruit. We see that brought murder, polygamy. That brought an intermingling between God's people and the world's people. And now we see the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It's progressing. In verse 11, the earth also was corrupt. All of creation was affected by sin. And the earth was filled with violence. Verse 12, and God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. Through them. Sin just keeps on progressing. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. As a result, of course, God, in his wrath, sent a universal flood that kills everybody except for Noah and his family. Now that's quite a change from, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. That's a drastic change. And the change is sin. And if you follow the story, and you go into Genesis chapter 9, the water subsides. Noah and his family are given a second chance. Genesis 9, verse 1, God tells them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God's giving man another chance. But by the time you get to the end of Genesis chapter 9, Noah's drunk. And Noah is sexually exposed. The progression of sin. In chapter 10, there's more genealogy. Then you come to chapter 11, and there's strife. And there's confusion. Chapter 12, there's lying. Because of a lack of trust in God, Abraham and Sarah. Chapter 13, there's strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of Lot, resulting in a family separation. And then you see Lot pitching his tent towards Sodom. Sodom was a wicked place. Lot knew that. But all Lot had his mind upon was how green the grass was, how that his herds would benefit. So he pitches his tent towards Sodom. Genesis 13 and verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. By the way, that word exceedingly tells us there are degrees of sin. All sin is sin, and all sin is evil. But there are degrees of sin. And we see here, referring to Sodom, the main sin was homosexuality, and they should be called Sodomites, not gays. And we see that Lot pitches his tent toward Sodom. In chapter 14, there's war. There's been many wars since. In chapter 16, you see Sarah, the wife of Abraham, telling Abraham to have sexual relations with Hagar. Notice in Genesis 16, verse 1, it says, Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. She had a servant. And Sarah said unto Abraham, she's speaking to her husband, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. Now I can read into that a little bit of blame being cast upon the Lord. Using the Lord has a justification for what she's about to do. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, so she's pleading with her husband, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. That's wicked. And then we read, and Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. All the progression of sin. Verse 4, and he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And that brought out hatred between Hagar and Sarah. Sin caused all kinds of problems and strife within that family. Still does today. You look at families today, it's almost beyond belief. And it all goes back to sin and the progressive nature of sin. So it brought, you have this act of adultery, and it produced a son and brought great chaos into the family, which eventually would result in cruelty to Hagar. In chapter 19 of Genesis, there's homosexuality. Notice chapter 19, verse 4. We see that some men come to the house of Lot. And in verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And you can read there through verse 10, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. It's speaking sexually. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters. How wicked is that? I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as good as in your eyes. The progression of sin. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. They were ready to break the door down for homosexual activity. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. In the end of the chapter, you have Lot committing incest with his daughters. Verse 34, it came to pass in the morrow that the firstborn said unto the younger, behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, and we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose, and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down, nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. Sin is disgusting, and it is of a progressive nature. Who would have thought that Adam and Eve's disobedience in partaking of that forbidden tree, and now we come to Genesis 19. The earth's already been destroyed once, and you have homosexuality and you have incest. In chapter 26, there's famine, there's more lying. Chapter 27, there's deception. Chapter 29, there's betrayal and deception. Chapter 30, there's rage, there's adultery, there's more polygamy. Chapter 31, there's deception, there's theft, there's idolatry, there's anger, there's ruthlessness, there's hatred. This within a family. In chapter 34, there's rape, there's mass murder, there's looting. Chapter 35, there's idolatry. Chapter 37, you have family jealousy and hatred and betrayal and selling a sibling into slavery, and you have harlotry, and on and on it goes. Throughout the Old Testament, such things as sexual defilements, genocide upon genocide, child sacrifice, cannibalism. All of this we find in the book of Genesis. And it simply tells us how that sin progresses. All through the book of Genesis, all through the Old Testament, horrific crimes and cruelties, much disease, death, plague upon plague. All has a consequence of sin. That's quite a change, again, from, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. The Old Testament is an illustration. If you take the first two chapters of Genesis, and then you go on from there, it is an illustration of good gone bad. Again, Romans 8, verse 22, Paul writes, it has been so up to this present time. Everything we read in the book of Genesis, it has been so up to this present time. Sin just continues to progress. The world is anything but good. And it has been anything but good throughout its history. And throughout the history of civilization, we see the cycle of sin. We see the cycle of rise and fall. Evolutionists, the so-called progressives of our day, live under the delusion that man is getting better. The Bible refutes that over and over. And even if the progressives don't believe the Bible, history refutes it over and over. Our present day refutes it over and over. Man is not getting better. The idea of evolution is that man starts from simplicity and mutates upward. Again, that is totally false. It's totally false. Man did not begin at the bottom and is working his way to top. Man began at the top and has been falling ever since. And Genesis, the first three chapters, makes that very plain, and then it's illustrated throughout the Word of God, and it's illustrated throughout world history. So creation and mankind are in a downward plunge. The world is filled with evil. Romans 8:22, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. That means it travaileth, it's intense, and it's continued in pain together until now. The entire creation, in every aspect is collectively suffering due to sin. Everybody groans under the decay that sin causes. Again, it's massive change, complete reversal from where we began. By one man, sin entered into or invaded the world. The result, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. And while society continues to get worse and worse, continues in their downward plunge, more and more ensnared in the abyss of darkness, the psychological and sociological evolutionist continues on in their delusion that man is getting better. And they continue to propagate that lie, that man is getting better. Man is so much smarter today than they used to be. First of all, I would argue that point. But let's say it is so. Let's say that man is more intelligent than in the past. I highly doubt it, but let's say it's so. What has man's intelligence brought? More destruction. More decay. Again, it's just, we're in that cycle. Man has a problem. The problem man has, no one wants to address. That is a sin problem. And the only answer to the sin problem, of course, is Jesus Christ. There is no other answer to the sin problem. Politics does not fix the sin problem. Law does not fix the sin problem. Jesus Christ fixes the sin problem. So man does have a sin problem. Next time we'll begin to look at the wrath of God. Man doesn't like to hear about sin today. And man does not want to believe in a God that has wrath. A God that displays His wrath. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for the clarity of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you help us to understand what's going on right before our eyes through your word. We thank you for that. We just pray now, Lord, that you'd meet with us, that you draw us closer to thee. Cause us, Lord, to be more like thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.